Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this glorious Labor Day Sunday. I would like to start the events today with the passing of the peace. If you'll please get up and speak to people you maybe have already spoken to, but speak to them again. Let us continue our worship by preparing our hearts and minds, and good morning. And let's sing our hymn of preparation that you will find on the inside of your bulletin. Lots of activities going on at Main Street these days, and I want to start with a few highlights from the newsletter. First of all, we begin our circle meetings again this next week, and we're going to be on some different schedules, some different adjustments. One is a notice that the Hearts and Hands Circle, which normally meets on Monday, will not meet until Tuesday. Same place, the Susanna Wesley Building, and at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Also, if you noticed in your newsletter, we're going to have a new circle beginning. It's for those folks who want something as an alternative circle, they're suggesting 40-ish. Now, you can take that however you want to. 40-ish and under. If you need some more information, you may call the church office. I would also like to urge you to stay connected to United Methodism. And the way to do that is to subscribe to the United Methodist Advocate from South Carolina. It is the oldest consistently published newspaper, church newspaper, in United Methodism. So subscribe and find out what all's going on across the state in Methodism. I also want to call your attention to the fact that we will be changing the prayer list beginning with this month in September. If you wish to put your name or that of a loved one on the prayer list, please call the church office. We will start over each month. So if you need to put your name on the list, please call the church office and tell Emmy, and she will do so. The next thing I want to do is to call your attention to things that are happening in the bulletin. Please note, if you notice down at the bottom, there will be new office hours for the church. Rather than trying to put somebody in on the phone or folks not getting a lunch hour, we're going to close the church office from 12 to 1. So please make a note of that. Also notice the announcements of the Singles and Singles Again meeting and for the acolyte training. There's a lot of stuff, and you won't have time to read it because you're going to be so busy listening to what's happening in church, so put it in your pocket and take it home. Now, let us continue our worship by centering our minds and hearts on our purposes here as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ. Thank you.
Will you stand for the call to worship? Hear the choices God sets before us: life, perspective, or death, adversity. Listen to the ordinance of our God. Love God and walk in the way God commands. Happy are those who delight in God's law. Blessed are all who meditate on God's word.
Together, the prayer of invocation is printed in your bulletin. Like a skilled potter, O God, you have shaped each one of us as a unique design. You know us better than we know ourselves. You value us more than we can imagine. You weep when we are marred or broken through our own misdeeds or the world's cruelty. We gather now to assemble our prayers for one another.
and all the world's people in a chorus of devotion. Hear us, gracious God. Amen.
Psalm number 139, you insert.
You may be seated. We will be doing Psalm 139 as our Psalter, so I invite you to join in the singing and the reading of that. The response is the first phrase for a tune which is used for many of the hymns in our hymnal. The tune name is Beech Spring, and Joyce will play that now.
Lord, you search me and you know me.
You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. And with your powerful arm, you protect me from every side.
Lord, you search me, and you know me, when I rest and when I rise.
You are the one who put me together inside my mother's body. Everything you do is marvelous. Of this I have no doubt. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do.
Lord, you search me and you know me when I rest.
Labor Day is, of course, a national holiday and not a religious holiday. However, we have chosen this Sunday to recognize the various talents that God has given us and to celebrate the use of those talents in serving God and each other. Please join me in the Litany for Labor Day as found also in the insert. Let us pray to the Lord of all creation, from whom comes life and work and purpose. Almighty God, when you formed us lovingly out of the dust of the earth, you breathed into us the breath of life and gave us work and purpose for living. Through our work, you made us co-creators with you, shaping the world in which we live. By our labor, you enriched the world.
By our labor, you enjoy the fruits of creation.
By our labor, we find direction and purpose.
By our labor, our hands are made to do.
For providing varieties of work and for blessing us by our labor.
We give
for those who plow the field and those who make the plow. For farmers and farm workers, for steel workers and machinists, for those who work with their hands and those who move the earth. For those who tend the sick and those who seek new cures, for doctors and nurses, for scientists and technicians, for those who keep notes and those who transcribe. For those who think and those who create. For inventors and explorers, for artists and musicians, for those who write books and those who entertain.
We give thanks to the Lord.
For those who work in offices and those who work in warehouses, for secretaries and receptionists, for stockers and bookkeepers, for those who market products and those who move them.
We give thanks to the Lord.
For those who inspire our minds and those who motivate us, for teachers and preachers, for public servants and religious servants, for those who help the poor and those who work with our children.
We give thanks to the Lord.
For children, whose play is the work of learning to live in the world. For those who seek work but have not found it, for those whose work is not yet what it may be, but who still seek that their gifts may be more fully shared. For those whose labor is tidiness and cleanliness, for custodians and sanitation workers, for dry cleaners and maids, for those who produce cleaning products and those who use them. For those who sail the waves and those who fly the skies, for captains and attendants, for astronauts and deep sea divers, for those who chart and those who navigate. For those whose work is unpaid, who offer what they can to enrich the lives of others through time, talents, skill, strength, and love. You bless us all with skills and gifts for labor. Guard and protect those who labor in the world. Look kindly upon the unemployed and the disabled. Keep us from laboring only for greed. Creator Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and purpose. You are the blessing of those who labor. Be with us in our labor to guide and govern our world. Give all men and women that work, work that enhances human dignity and bonds us to one another. Give us pride in our work, a fair return for our labor, and joy in knowing that our work finds its source in you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
I felt my heart strangely warm. Little goosebumps. I wanted to say amen. Yeah. As my brothers used to say, can I get a witness? Wow. Well, I'm supposed to pray and not talk. You see, our concerns that are listed in your bulletin for those who have been in the hospital and those that are sick, and we pray for them, and we do have some in the hospital as of the printing of the bulletin, and we continue to pray for them, for Lillian, for Buck, for Jackie, and also Jay Pendergrass, as we are all well aware. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we come to you on this blessed day, and thanking you for your creation, and reminded that throughout our journey of life, that for most of us, we have found an area where we have applied our skills and our mental well-being and have endeavored to carve out a living. We know that in these days of economic times, there are those who are very willing to work and yet find no gainful employment. So, dear God, we come to you and we thank you for the privilege of work, labor, the sweat of our brow. And we pray for those who are unemployed. And maybe not unemployed, but in severe distress because of the economy of our days. And we pray that you will help us to continue to lift our eyes from the works of our own hands and our own efforts to embrace you, the God who cares and loves, who sees and knows the very hairs of our heads. We pray, dear God, that our trust would be in God, the God who has blessed us, lo, these many years. And again, we pray for those who are sick, listening by means of radio this day, who are not able to be out and about. Dear God, touch them. And those of us who are healthy, touch us as well, that we might be more diligent in doing your will. That we indeed would use the talents that you have given to us and understand that as we apply those talents, you have promised us that you will bless us with additional talents to lift up the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we thank you this day, dear God, for that great cloud of witnesses that have journeyed before us, who have labored, who have built this wonderful facility that we worship in this day. And as the choir has sung here in the chancel area, and as a musician has played on the beautiful instruments, we thank you again for those who have given all that they have. And dear God, we rest in you. Be with our troops, those within our community, and others who are serving where they've been asked to go, and those whose families, their loved ones, have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Dear God, we know war is like that. It requires personal sacrifices. Help us, Almighty God, to be a place of peace and a haven of blessing, but also willing to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge and to do your will. Be with the leaders of our church and the leaders of our nation, and we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Almighty God, to you we give thanks for these gifts, for those who have given some from their bounty, and some from their poverty or from their lack. Some out of sacrifice, some maybe giving all. But Lord, we are thankful that you look upon the heart and that you bless these gifts for the furtherance of your word. We dedicate these gifts now to your glory, and may they be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. You got all comfy, and I'm going to make you stand up. How about standing up? I want you to look out this way. Yeah. I heard those moans and groans. Okay. We're going to take a little survey. You see all these people sitting out here? Everybody's not the same, right? Everybody looks a little bit different. Their hair's a little bit different, whatever. And God gave everybody a talent. A very different talent. And tomorrow's Labor Day, and a lot of you are out of school, and a lot of people are off from work. I'm not, Lander labors. But anyway, a lot of people are off tomorrow because they're celebrating what people do for a living, how they make their living, and that the talents that God has given them. So we're going to take a survey. We're going to find out who makes up this congregation. Okay, and this is a good Sunday because we've got the early morning people and the 11 o'clock people here together today. So we're going to follow this little form that was used earlier. And let's see who we've got out here. Do we have any farmers? If you're a farmer, stand up. No. Well, we have one. See, we have a farmer. If my daddy was here, he could stand up on that one. Okay. Do we have any machinists? Or people who work in industry? No? Okay. Do we have any people who work with your hands? Like crafters? You do? You work with your hands? Okay. Very good. All right. How about homemakers? Moms and dads that stay home during the day and take care of the home? Got a lot of those. Okay. All right. Do we have any doctors, nurses, or medical technicians, or scientists? You got those, and you got one up there, and you got several up there in the choir, too, that do that. Okay. Do we have people who transcribe, secretaries, receptionists, or anyone like that? Okay. Do we have... There's Emmy up there. Everybody wave at Emmy. That's what she does. Hey. Okay. Do we have any artists, musicians, or people who entertain? Well, that's me. And all of those people up there. Right. Okay. And the ones over here that just sang and played. Right. We've got that. Okay. Do we have any people who are stockers, bookkeepers, or salespeople? Uh-huh. Now we're starting to get into some stuff here. Okay. This ought to be a biggie. You listen to this one. This is probably a biggie. Teachers. Yeah, now we're talking. How about preachers? Okay. And this ought to be a real biggie in our church because a lot of people here go out and help people and make their lives better. How about volunteers? These people don't get paid for what they do. They go out and do this just because they care about people. Now, here's your category. Children who play. Do you know that's sort of a job? What a great job, right? Because as you're playing and you're going to school as students, you're learning the ways of the world, right? Okay, all of us come together on Sundays here at the church. Why do we come here on Sundays? Why do we come on Sundays? We don't work on Sundays. That's a good reason to come. But why else do we come to church on Sundays? What does this cross represent? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to church on Sundays to worship Christ, correct? Yes? But is that the only day we should worship Him? No. He should be worshiped every single day, no matter what we do in life or where we work or what our talent might be. We're supposed to worship God every single day because He's with us every single day, not just on Sundays when we come to this great building, right? I see you. Okay, let's hold hands. Can everybody hold hands? Grab a hand. We're going to pray together. Okay. You can repeat after me, all right? Dear God, thank you for all those who work. Thank you for being close to us no matter what we are doing or what day of the week it happens to be. That's a long one. Okay. Thank you. Help us to remember to worship you every day. Just as we do on Sundays. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join together in professing our faith as contained in the bulletin. This is the modern affirmation, so it's a little different than the one you're accustomed to. Let us read together. We believe in God, the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all His works, and whose will is ever directed to His children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ,
Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now, and ever shall be, world.
Hear now the word of God as contained in the Gospel of Luke. Begin reading with the fourth verse of the eighth chapter. When a great crowd gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. And he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Kathy called me this week and left me a message, Kathy Kelly, and asked me to speak this morning on how I use God at work, in our workplace. And on this side, I was saying no, no, no. Then on the other side, there was a voice saying yes, yes, yes. I told Emmy that story, and she said, "What's wrong? You can't tell the preacher no?" I said, "No, it's not the preacher. It's the Lord. You know, when the Lord talks to you, it's time for you to come in and, you know, just say how he's working in your life." I began my coaching career at Brewer Middle School, and one day we was preparing for a ball game, and one of my players, Toot, I don't mind using her name, she doesn't mind, she said, Coach, I finally got it, And I thought, oh, she's got the play or something to do with basketball. And she said, "I learned the Lord's Prayer." Well, I think that was the first time that God was working in my life, telling me that there's more to coaching than just wins and losses. So for the last 5 years, we've been really fortunate at Greenwood High School to have a great FCA program. It's a fellowship of Christian athletes. A lot of athletes are involved, but you don't have to be an athlete to be involved. They meet every Thursday morning. They come to school early at 7:45 by choice, and they meet and they have Bible study and praise time. We think this is a good support group, and again, it's a volunteer basis. Also, once a year, I wrote John into going with us, but we take about 50 or 60 young people to the beach to a retreat. And there's about 700 young people there from all over South Carolina, and you will be amazed at their worship and praise time. And they're so excited about Christ, and they're not embarrassed, or, you know, even as adults, sometimes we have a hard time showing our faith because we're afraid how people are going to react to it. But it is a great weekend, and something really special happened last year that has come into this year. One of our ninth graders was saved at the beach at the rally, and she came back this year and started a female Bible study class at the high school. They meet every Friday morning before school. It's all student-oriented, you know, and her first time was this Friday, and they had 13 young ladies to attend. So that's amazing. And lastly, our basketball team, which I coach basketball at Greenwood High, we're involved in FCA. And due to having FCA, if you don't realize, FCA is the only way we're able to have Christ in our schools. And we do want to try to keep that door open. But the basketball team is able to have Bible study. We have devotions. We have a prayer board in our team room. And the young ladies are able to put anybody up there that they are concerned with. Or we also put our joys on that board, too. We don't want to just go to Christ in sorrows, but we also want to go to Him in praise time. And I honestly believe if Christ wasn't a part of that team and was not in that room, those girls wouldn't feel comfortable sharing those things with each other. And I want to close in just a quick story. Last Sunday, John and I was at home, and I received an email. And it was a poem from one of my ball players. And I'm not going to read the poem to you, but I just want to give you a few lines from the poem. And some background first. She lost her grandmother last year, who was her primary caregiver. And now she lives with her mom, who is a heavy drug user. So the poem came to me, and I was concerned, and it was titled, Am I Wrong? And I just want to read you three lines from her poem. It says, Am I wrong for wanting my grandmother's love? Am I wrong for ignoring she's gone? Am I wrong for wanting to be loved? Am I wrong for not wanting him? She has her daddy in parentheses, call me those names. So we talked about this for 2 days, and on Tuesday she said, Miss Thompson, can I share this with the basketball team? So needless to say, she read the whole team to the whole poem to the basketball team, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And so I asked her today, could I use her name? And she said, fine. I said, Maya, why did you want to read this poem to the basketball team? And she said, because these are my sisters, and I know they love me, and they will not judge me. And she said, also, I feel like some of them are going through some of the same things I'm going through, and it may help them. I again believe if Christ was not involved in that team and in that place, those girls would not feel that comfort with each other. And I just want to leave you with this thought. Is, you know, guys, this is what it's all about, loving God and being able to love and support others through His love. Thank you.
I'm not quite as good a speaker as Susan. I have not spoken in church in front of people since I got married, and all I had to say then was, I do. I want to thank the choir for singing Amazing Grace this morning, and I want to thank Dick Blosser for his beautiful arrangement during the prelude, because people who know me know that Amazing Grace is not only my favorite hymn, but my favorite song. The first three verses of that hymn tell the story of my life. Despite my mother's best efforts, I grew up without any sense of God, without any beliefs. I lived most of my life in a very sinful and destructive way. And despite that, at age 33, February 17th, 1993, I reached such a point of desperation that I surrendered my life to God, and it changed. During the children's time, all those different occupations, I had done about half of those. I had not finished college. I had not really ever succeeded at anything in my life. And when I surrendered to God, things changed. God changed me. My life changed. I became employed. I worked as an accountant. I met my wife, Rhonda, who many of you know is the greatest blessing of my life. I think any man's greatest blessing is the opportunity to be married to a godly woman. I've learned more about love from Rhonda than I've learned from anyone else in my whole life. We'd been married less than a year when I lost my job, and I had no education, and we didn't really know what direction to go because we wanted to start a family, and I wasn't very employable. And Rhonda and I had a conversation one night in the parking lot of a barbecue restaurant, and she said, "I just want you to do what you feel called to do." And I said, "Well, you know, God has been so good to me that I would give anything to be able to go to medical school and try to give back." And Rhonda said the words that are famous in our family: "If it's God's will, the doors will open." And they did open to me. And I'm probably a very unlikely candidate to have gone to medical school and completed it and finished a residency and practiced medicine. But God has carried me and my family through that. We've had two beautiful children, Skylar and Cecilia, who are without a doubt the joys of my life. We had a lot of struggles during my medical training. I was in my 40s. I was tired all the time. Rhonda held our family together. She worked hard. She carried the load. In my early years of practice, she continued to do that. When I went to medical school, I had a vision of how I wanted to practice. I felt called to practice primary care and to be people's doctor and to see them in good times and bad times and be there for them. And throughout the course of my brief practicing career, that hasn't really worked out for me. And it has led to times of confusion and feelings of questioning what is it God is leading me to do. And throughout my life, I have seen where when a door closes, God opens a window. And when things were changing for me, God gave me other opportunities. And today, I'm just grateful to be employed in today's world. I mean, I have a good job. I'm able to provide for my family in a way I never dreamed I would be able to. I'm able to spend my day trying to help other people and make a difference in their lives, and I can't imagine a better occupation for me. When I'm down, when I'm in despair, when I'm feeling sorry for myself, I get the opportunity to go into someone's room who's really hurting, and I recognize that, my problems are not nearly as big as I think they are. God has been very good to me. It's a daily challenge for me to remember that and to recognize it. But I work very hard to do that. A couple things that I wanted to share is that as I look back over my life, I've had a lot of days where I thought, I'm really trying to do God's will, but things just don't seem to be working out. And in spite of a lot of days thinking that, when I look back at the bigger picture, I see that my life has been working out just beautifully, far better than I could have ever dreamed. And it's a real lesson to me that I really can't see the big picture. I live today on faith that what I'm doing is what God is calling me to do, and I ask Him to lead me and guide me each morning, and I believe that that's what He's doing. I don't believe in magic. I don't think God reaches down and manipulates events in my life for my best interest. But I do believe that God, when I surrender my heart to Him, changes me. He changes my mind, He changes my spirit, and He makes me capable of succeeding in life. And I'm grateful for that. The other thing that I wanted to say is that when I think about my circumstances and I'm not satisfied with my circumstances, I feel sometimes despair. But when I concentrate on my relationship with God and I focus on what can I do to be God's person today, my circumstances don't matter and I have a good day. And that's something that I try to practice each day, sometimes well, sometimes not so well. The last thing that I wanted to share is just a prayer that I start with every day. And I'll try not to stumble because I'm still pretty nervous. After this much time, usually I've calmed down. But each day, I ask God, I say, God, I offer myself to you to do with me as you will, to build with me and work through me to help other people. Please release me from the horrible bondage of self so that I may better do your will. Please direct my thoughts and actions so that I may be an example of your spirit and your life. I also want to publicly thank the people in this church. In the 5 years we've been here, your fellowship has embraced us and welcomed us here. When I changed jobs to Spartanburg, and we were not able to move because our house wouldn't sell, it was another example of not really understanding why things weren't working out. But I stand here today grateful that they've worked out the way they have, because this church is the reason we're so grateful to be living in Greenwood. And I just want to thank everyone for that. And I want to thank God for the wonderful life He's given me. And Larry told me to keep it to 45 minutes, so... Actually, that's all. Four or five. Okay. That's all. Thank you very much.
And I want you to know that it's a joy to be your pastor, and the joy to be the pastor of individuals like these who have shared with you this morning. I was looking at a percentage chart the other day and how many folks come to church because a friend invites them. And it's far, far superior than what any preacher has to do with attendance at church. So I encourage you, as we have listened to these share this morning, and think about all the individuals that they come in contact with during the week, and multiply that by all the individuals that are here, and think about the opportunities that we all have to share the good news of Christ with those we come in contact with. May the Lord bless you in your occupation and whatever areas that you are involved in, and lead you in the path of somebody that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and may they hear that good news through you. Amen. Let us stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Receive now the benediction. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you both now and evermore, and bless the meal that we are about to enjoy together and the fellowship around the table. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.